Sebastian leaned on the thick wooden plank counter, speaking to the innkeeper. She was a big woman, and within a forbidding scowl that made her look like she was as used to trouble as she was prepared to deal with it. The room full of people, mostly men, were a jovial lot. Some of the men played at dice or other table games. Some arm wrestled. Most were drinking and telling jokes that would set tables of them off in peals of fist-pounding laughter. Laughter sounded obscene to Jensen. There was no joy in her world. There could be none. The past week was a blur. Or was it more than a week? She couldn't recall exactly how long they had been traveling. What did it matter? What did anything matter? Jensen was unaccustomed to people. People had always represented danger to her. Groups of them made her nervous. People at an inn, drinking and gambling, even more so. When men noticed her standing at the end of the counter near the wall, they forgot the jokes or paused at their dice and lingered on the sight of her. Meeting their gazes, she pushed the hood of her cloak back, letting her thick rings of red hair fall over the front of her shoulders. That was enough to turn their eyes back to their own business. Jensen's red hair spooked people, especially those who were superstitious. Red hair was uncommon enough that it raised suspicion. It gave people a worry that she might be gifted or perhaps that she might even be a witch. Jensen, by boldly meeting their gazes, played on such fears. It had in the past helped protect her, oftentimes better than a knife could have. Back at her house, it hadn't helped one little bit. After the men turned away from her and went back to their dice and drinks, Jensen looked back down the counter. The stout innkeeper was staring at her red hair. When Jensen met her gaze, the woman quickly turned her attention back to Sebastian. He asked her another question. She bent closer as she spoke to him. Jensen couldn't hear them over the roar of all the talking, joking, betting, cheering, cursing, and laughing. Sebastian nodded to the woman's words spoken close to his ear. She pointed off over the heads of her customers, apparently giving directions. Sebastian straightened and pulled a coin from his pocket, then slid it across the counter toward the woman. After taking the coin, she traded it for a key from a box behind her. Sebastian scooped the key off the counter, worn smooth by countless mugs and hands. He picked up his own mug and bid the woman a good day. When he reached the end of the counter, he leaned close to Jensen so she could hear him and gestured with his mug. "You sure you wouldn't like a drink?" Jensen shook her head. He kept an eye on the room full of people. They were all once again engaged in their own business. "It was a good thing you pushed your hood back. Until the woman of the house saw that red hair of yours, she was playing dumb. After that, her tongue loosened." "The woman knows her? She is still living here in Gretton, as my mother said, the innkeeper is sure?" Sebastian took a long drink, watching a roll of dice bring a cheer for the winner. "She gave me directions." "And you got us rooms?" "Only one room." As he took another swig, he saw her reaction. "Better to be together in case of trouble. I thought it would be safer with us both in one room." "I'd rather sleep with Betty." Realizing how that must have sounded, she looked away in embarrassment and added, "Than in an inn, I mean. I'd rather be by myself than where there are so many people so close around. I'd feel safer in the woods than closed in a room here. I didn't mean..." "I know what you meant." Sebastian's blue eyes took up his smile. "It will do you good to sleep inside. It's going to be a bitter night, and Betty will be better sheltered at the stable." The man who ran the stable had been a bit surprised to be asked to stable a goat for the night, but horses enjoyed the company of goats, so he was accommodating. That first night, Betty had probably saved their lives. Sebastian, with his fever, might not have survived had Jensen not found a dry place under a jut of ledge. The back of the small cleft beneath the overhang narrowed to a point, but it was big enough for the two of them. Jensen had cut balsam and fir limbs to line the depression, lest the cold rock sap their bodies of heat. She and Sebastian then wedged themselves into the back. With Jensen's urging, and with the aid of the rope, Betty knelt behind the pine boughs positioned over the opening and then lay down close before them. With Betty's body against them, blocking the cold and providing her warmth, they had a dry, warm bed. Jensen quietly wept the long, miserable night away. She was at least relieved that Sebastian, feverish, was able to sleep. By morning, his fever had broken. Morning had been the first day of Jensen's bleak, new life without her mother. Leaving her mother's body there at the house, all alone, constantly haunted Jensen. The memory of the horrifying, bloody sight gave her nightmares. That her mother was gone brought limitless tears and crushed Jensen with heartache. Life seemed desolate and meaningless. But Sebastian and Jensen had escaped. They had survived. That instinct to survive, and knowing all that her mother had done to give Jensen life, kept her going. At times she wished she were not such a coward and could simply face the end and be done with it. At other times the terror of being pursued kept her putting one foot in front of the other. At yet other moments she felt a sense of fierce commitment to life, to not allowing all her mother's sacrifices to be in vain. "We should have some supper," Sebastian said. "They have lamb stew. Then maybe you should get a good night's sleep in a warm bed before we go see this old acquaintance of yours. I'll stand watch while you sleep." Jensen shook her head. "No, let's go see her now. We can sleep later." She had seen people eating thick stew from wooden bowls. The thought of food held no appeal for her. Sebastian studied the look on her face and saw that he wasn't going to talk her out of it. He drained the mug and set it on the counter. "It's not far. We're on the right side of town." Outside, in the gathering dusk, she asked, "Why did you want to stay here, at this inn? There were other places much nicer, where the people didn't look so... rough." His blue-eyed gaze swept the buildings, the dark doorways, the alleys, as his fingers touched his cloak, seeking the reassurance of the hilt of his sword. "A rough crowd asks fewer questions, especially the kind of questions we don't want to answer." He seemed to her a man who was used to avoiding having questions asked of him. She stepped along the narrow furrow of a frozen rut, following it down the road toward the woman's house, a woman Jensen only dimly remembered. She held on tightly to the hope that the woman might be able to help. Her mother must have had some reason for not going to this woman again, but Jensen could think of nothing else to try but to seek her aid. Without her mother, Jensen needed help. The other three members of the quad were surely hunting her. Five men dead told her that there were at least two quads. That would mean at least three of those killers still after her. It was entirely possible there were more. It was probable that even if there were not more, there soon would be. They had escaped by using the hidden trail away from her house. The men probably wouldn't have been expecting that, so she and Sebastian had gained the temporary safety of distance. The rain would have done a good job of covering any tracks. It was possible that the two of them had gotten away cleanly and were, for the time being, safe. But since her pursuer was the Lord Rawl himself, it was also possible that the killers were, by some dark and mysterious means, moment by moment, closing in on her. After the horrifying encounter with the huge soldiers at her house, the terror of that possibility always loomed in Jensen's fears. At a deserted corner, Sebastian pointed to the right. "Down this street." They walked past dark buildings, square and windowless, that suggested to her that maybe they were only used for storage. No one seemed to live down the street. Before long, they'd left the buildings behind. Trees, naked before the bitter wind, huddled in clumps. When they came to a narrow road, Sebastian pointed. "By the directions, it's the house down this road, down at the end, in that stand of trees." The road looked to be little used. Weak light from a distant window stole through bare branches of oak and alder. The light, rather than warm invitation, shone more like a glowing warning to stay away. "Why don't you wait here?" she said. "It might be better if I went alone." She was providing him with an excuse. Most people didn't want anything to do with the sorceress. Jensen herself wished she had some other choice. "I'll go with you." He had shown a distinct distrust of anything to do with magic. The way his eyes watched the dark place off through the branches and brush to the sides, he might have been trying to sound more brave than he was. Jensen admonished herself for even thinking such thoughts. He had fought Daharan soldiers, who not only had been much bigger than he, but had outnumbered him. He could have simply stayed out in the cave and not risked his life. He could have left the scene of such carnage and gone on with his life. Fearing magic only proved him of sound mind. She, of all people, could understand fearing magic. Snow crunched under their boots as the two of them, after reaching the end of the road, made their way along the narrow path through the trees. Sebastian watched off to the sides while her attention was mostly fixed on the house. Behind the small place, the woods marched off up foothills. Jensen imagined that only those with a strong need dared walk the path toward this door. Jensen reasoned that if the sorceress lived this near into town, then she must be someone who helped people, someone whom people trusted. It was entirely possible that the woman was a valued and respected member of the community, a healer, devoted to helping others, not someone to fear. As the wind moaned through the trees looming around her, Jensen rapped on the door. Sebastian's gaze studied the woods to each side. Off behind them, the lights from homes and businesses would at least provide light enough for them to find their way back. As she waited, Jensen's gaze, too, was drawn to the gloom all around. She imagined eyes in the darkness watching her, the hairs at the back of her neck lifted. The door finally drew in, but only as wide as the face of the woman peering out at them. "Yes?" Jensen couldn't clearly make out the shadowed features of the face, but by the light coming out through the partly opened door, the woman could see Jensen plainly enough. "Are you Lathea?" she asked. "Lathea, the sorceress?"
"Why?"
"We were told that Lathea, the sorceress, lives here. If that's you, may we come in?" Still the door didn't open any wider. Jensen pulled her cloak tighter against the cold night air, as well as the chilly reception. The woman's steady look took in Sebastian, then Jensen's form hidden within a heavy cloak.
"I'm not a midwife. If you want to get yourself out of the trouble you two are in, I can't help with that. Go see a midwife."
Jensen was mortified. "That's not why we're here." The woman peered out for a moment, considering the two strangers at her door.
"What sort of medicine do you need, then?"
"No medicine, a spell. I've met you before, once. I need a spell like you once cast for me, when I was little."
The face in the shadows frowned. "When? Where?"
Jensen cleared her throat.
"Back at the people's palace. When I lived there, you helped me when I was little."
"Helped you what? Speak up, girl."
"Helped hide me. With some kind of spell, I believe. I was little at the time, so I don't recall exactly."
"Hide you?"
"From Lord Rawl."
There was an awful silence from the house.
"Do you remember? My name is Jensen. I was very little at the time."
Jensen pushed her hood back so that the woman could see her ringlets of red hair lit in the wedge of light coming through the door.
"Jensen. Don't recall the name, but the hair I remember. It's not often one sees hair like yours."
Jensen's spirits buoyed with relief.
"It has been a while. I'm so glad to hear that..."
"I don't deal in your kind," the woman said. "Never have. I cast no spell for you."
Jensen was stunned, speechless. She didn't know what to say. She was sure the woman had once cast a spell to help her.
"Now be gone, the both of you."
The door started to close.
"Wait, please. I can pay."
Jensen reached into a pocket and hurriedly brought out a coin. Only after she passed it through the door did she see that it had been gold. The woman inspected the gold mark for a time, perhaps considering if it was worth becoming involved again in what was sure to be a high crime, even for what amounted to a small fortune.
"Now do you remember?"
Sebastian asked. The woman's eyes turned to him.
And who are you?
Just a friend.
Lethea, I need your help again. My mother...
Jensen couldn't bring herself to say it, and started over in a different direction.
I remember my mother telling me about you and how you helped us once. I was very little at the time, but I remember having the spell cast over me. It wore off years ago. I need that help again.
Well, you have the wrong person.
Jensen's fists tightened on her wool cloak. She had no other ideas. This was the only thing she could think of.
Lethea, please, I'm at my wit's end. I need help.
She's given you a goodly sum, Sebastian put in. If you say that we have the wrong person, and you don't want to help, then I guess we should save the gold for the right person.
Lethea gave him a sly smile. Oh, I said she had the wrong person, but I didn't say I couldn't earn the payment tendered.
I don't understand, Jensen said, holding her cloak closed at her throat as she shivered with cold. Lethea gazed out at her for a moment, as if waiting to be sure they were paying close attention.
You are looking for my sister Althea. I am Lethea. She is Althea. She is the one who helped you, not I. Your mother probably got our names mixed up, or you recalled it wrong. It used to be a common mistake back when we were together. Althea and I have different talents with the gift. It was she who helped you and your mother, not I.
Jensen was dumbfounded and disappointed, but at least not defeated. There was still a thread of hope. Please, Lethea, could you help me this time in your sister's place?
No, I can do nothing for you. I am blind to your kind. Only Althea can see the holes in the world. I cannot.
Jensen didn't know what that meant. Holes in the world. Blind? To my kind?
Yes. I have told you what I can. Now go away.
The woman started pulling back from the door.
Wait, please, can you at least tell me where your sister lives then?
She looked back at Jensen's expectant face.
This is dangerous business.
It's business, Sebastian said, his voice as cold as the night. A gold mark's worth. For that price, we should at least have the place where we can find your sister. Lethea considered his words, then in a voice as cold as his had been, said to Jensen,
I don't want nothing to do with your kind, understand? Nothing. If Althea does, that's her business. Inquire at the people's palace.
Jensen seemed to remember traveling to a woman not terribly far from the palace. She had thought it was Lethea, but it must have been her sister, Althea.
But can't you tell me more than that? Where she lives? How I can find her? Last time I saw her, she lived near there with her husband. You can inquire there for the sorceress Althea. People will know her if she still lives.
Sebastian put his hand against the door before the woman could shut it.
That's a pretty thin bit of information. We should have more than that for the price offered. For what I told you, the price is paltry. I gave you the information you need. If my sister wants to tempt her doom, that's up to her. What I don't need for any price is trouble.
We mean no trouble, Jensen said. We only need the help of a spell. If you can't help with that, then we thank you for your sister's name. We will seek her out. But there are some important things I need to know. If you could tell me...
If you had any decency, you'd leave Althea alone. Your kind will only bring us harm. Now go from my door before I set a nightmare upon you.
Jensen stared at the face in the shadows. Someone already has, she said as she turned away. Chapter 9. Oba, feeling fashionable in his cap and brown wool jacket, walked down the sides of the narrow streets, humming a tune he had heard played on a pipe at an inn he'd passed. He had to wait for a rider to go by before he turned down Lethea's road. The horse's ears swiveled toward him as it passed. Oba had had a horse once, and liked to ride, but his mother had decided that they couldn't afford to keep a horse. Oxen were more useful and did more work, but they weren't as companionable. As he walked down the dark road, his boots crunching on the crust of snow, a couple came past from the opposite direction, from the direction of Lathea's place. He wondered if they had gone to the sorceress for a cure. The woman cast a wary look his way. On a dark road, such a reaction was not undue, and too, Oba knew that his size frightened some women. She sidestepped clear of him. The man with her met Oba's gaze. Many men didn't. The way they stared reminded Oba of the rat. He grinned at that memory, at learning new things. Both the man and the woman thought he was grinning at them. Oba tipped his cap to the lady. She returned a weak smile. It was the kind of empty smile Oba had often seen from women. It made him feel a buffoon. The couple melted into the dark streets. Oba stuffed his hands in his jacket pockets and turned back toward Lathea's place. He hated going there in the dark. The sorceress was fearsome enough without the walk down her dark path. He let out a troubled sigh into the brisk winter air. He wasn't afraid to confront the strength of men, but he knew he was helpless against the mysteries of magic. He knew how much misery her potions inflicted upon him. They burned him going in and coming out. They not only hurt, they made him lose control of himself, making him seem like he was just an animal. It was humiliating. He had heard tell of others, though, who had angered the sorceress and suffered worse fates, fevers, blindness, a slow, lingering death. One man had gone mad and run off naked into a swamp. People said he must have crossed the sorceress somehow. They found him snake-bit and dead, all puffed up in purple, floating among the slimy weed. Oba couldn't imagine what the man had done to earn such a fate from the sorceress. He should have known better and been more cautious with the old shrew. Sometimes Oba had nightmares about what she might do to him with her magic. He imagined Lathea's powers could lance him with 1,000 cuts or even strip the flesh from his bones, boil his eyes in his head, or make his tongue swell until he gagged and choked in a slow, agonizing death. He hurried along the path. The sooner started, the sooner finished. Oba had learned that. When he reached the house, he knocked.
"It's Oba Schalk. My mother sent me for her medicine."
He watched his breath cloud in the air while he waited. The door finally opened a sliver so that she could peer out at him. He thought that, being a sorceress, she should be able to see him without having to open the door for a look first. Sometimes, when he was there waiting for Lathea to mix up medicine, someone would come and she would simply open the door. Whenever Oba came, though, she always peered out first to see it was him.
"Oba!"
Her voice was as sour with recognition as her expression. The door opened to admit him. Cautiously, respectfully, Oba stepped inside. He peered about, even though he knew the place well. He was careful not to act too forward with her. Harboring no fear of him, she swatted his shoulder to spur him to move deeper into the room to give her the leeway to shut the door.
"Your mother's knees again?"
the sorceress asked, pushing the door closed against the frigid air. Oba nodded as he stared at the floor.
"She says they're aching her, and she'd like some of your medicine."
He knew he had to tell her the rest of it.
"She asked for you to send along something for me as well."
Lathea smiled in that sly way she had.
"Something for you, Oba?"
Oba knew that she knew very well what he meant. There were only two cures he ever went to her for, one for his mother and the one for him. She liked to make him say it, though. Lathea was as mean as a toothache.
"A remedy for me, too," Mama said.
Her face floated closer. She peered up at him, the snaky smile still playing across her features.
"A remedy for wickedness?"
Her voice came in a hiss.
"That it, Oba? Is that what Mother Schalk wanted you to fetch?"
He cleared his throat and nodded. He felt puny before her thin smile, so he looked back down at the floor. Lathea's gaze lingered on him. He wondered what was in that clever mind of hers, what devious thoughts, what grim schemes. She finally moved off to fetch the ingredients she kept in the tall cabinet. The rough pine door squeaked as she pulled it open. She set bottles in the crook of her other arm and carried them to the table in the middle of the room.
"She keeps trying, doesn't she, Oba?"
Her voice had gone flat, like she was talking to herself.
"Keeps trying, even though it never changes what is. Oba."
An oil lamp on the trestle table lit the collection of bottles as she set them there, one at a time, her eyes lingering on each. She was thinking about something, maybe what vile brew she might mix up for him this time, what sort of sickly condition she would inflict upon him in an attempt to purge him of his ever-present, unspecified evil. The oak logs in the hearth had checkered in the wavering yellow-orange glow of the fire, throwing good heat as well as light into the room. In the middle of their room, Oba and his mother had a pit for a fire. He liked the way the smoke in Lathea's fireplace went right up the chimney and out of the house rather than hanging in the room before eventually making its way out a small hole in the roof. Oba liked a proper fireplace and thought that he should make one for him and his mother. Every time he went to Lathea's place, he studied the way her fireplace was built. It was important to learn things. He also kept an eye on Lathea's back as she poured liquid from bottles into a wide-mouthed jar. She mixed the concoction with a glass rod as each new ingredient was slowly added. When she was satisfied, she poured the medicine in a small bottle and stoppered it with a cork. She handed him the small bottle.
"For your mother."
Oba passed her the coin his mother had given him. She watched his eyes as her knobby fingers slipped the coin into a pocket in her dress. Oba finally let his breath go after she turned back to her table to her work. She lifted a few bottles, studying them in the light of the fire before she began mixing his cure, his cursed cure. Oba didn't like speaking with Lathea, but her silence often made him even more uncomfortable, made him itch. He couldn't really think of anything worthy of saying, but he finally decided that he had to say something.
"Mama will be glad for the medicine. She's hoping it will help her knees." "And she's hoping for something to cure her son?"
Oba shrugged, regretting his attempt at casual conversation.
"Yes, ma'am."
The sorceress peered back over her shoulder.
"I've told Mother Shock that I don't believe it will do any good."
Oba didn't think so either, because he didn't really believe there was anything needing curing. When he had been little, he thought that his mother knew best and wouldn't give him the cure, if he didn't need it. But he had since come to doubt that. She no longer seemed to him as smart as he had once believed her to be.
"She must care about me, though. She keeps trying. Maybe she's hoping that the cure might rid her of you," Lathea said, almost absently, as she worked.
"Oba." Oba's head came up. He stared at the sorceress's back. He had never considered such a thought. Maybe Lathea was hoping that the cure would rid them both of the bastard boy. His mother sometimes went to see Lathea. Maybe they had discussed it. Had he ignorantly believed the two women were trying to do good for him, to help him, when the opposite was actually true? Maybe both women had hatched a plan. Maybe they had been conniving all along to poison him. If something happened to him, his mother would no longer have to help support him. She often complained about how much he ate. Time and again, she told him that she worked more to feed him than herself, and that because of him, she could never put any money away. Maybe if she had instead put away the money she'd spent on his cures over the years, she'd have a comfortable nest egg by now. But if something happened to him, his mother would have to do all the work. Maybe both women just wanted to do it out of simple meanness. Maybe they hadn't thought it all through, as Oba would. His mother often surprised him with her simple-mindedness. Maybe both women had been sitting around one day and had just decided to be mean. Oba watched the flickering light play over the thin strands of the sorceress's straight hair. Today, Mama said that she should have done what you always told her to do from the beginning.
Lathea, pouring thick brown liquid into the jar, glanced back over her shoulder again.
Did she now?
Oba.
What did you say from the beginning that Mama should do?
Isn't it obvious?
Oba. Icy realization prickled his flesh.
You mean that she should have killed me?
He had never before come out and said anything so bold. He had never once in any way dared to confront the sorceress. He feared her too much. But this time the words had just come into his mind, much like the voice did, and he had spoken them before he had time to consider whether or not it was wise to do so. He had surprised Lathea even more than he had surprised himself. She hesitated at her bottles, watching him as if he had changed before her very eyes. Maybe he had. He realized then that he liked the way it felt to speak his mind. He had never before seen Lathea falter. Maybe it was because she felt safe dancing around the subject, safe in the shadows of the words, without having them brought out into the light of day.
That what you always wanted her to do, Lathea? That it? Kill her bastard boy?
A smile pushed its way onto her thin face.
It wasn't like you make it sound, Oba.
All the low, slow, haughty intonation had evaporated from her voice.
Not at all.
She addressed him more like a man than she ever had before, rather than an evil bastard boy she tolerated. She sounded almost sweet.
Women are sometimes better off without a newborn babe. It isn't so bad when the babe is newborn. They're not such a person yet.
Oba. Surrender.
You mean it would be easier?
That's right, she said, eagerly latching onto his words. It would be easier. His own voice slowed and took on an edge that he didn't know had been in him.
You mean it would be easier before they got big enough to fight back?
The range of his latent talents amazed him. It was a night of new wonders.
No, that's not at all what I mean.
But he thought it was. Her voice, reflecting a fresh respect for him, quickened, became almost urgent.
I only mean that it's easier before a woman comes to love her child. You know, before the child comes to be a person, a real person, with a mind. It's easier then, and sometimes it's best for the mother.
Oba was learning something new, but he hadn't put it all together yet. He sensed that all his new learning was profoundly important, that he was on the cusp of true understanding.
How could it be best?
Lathea stopped pouring the liquid and set the bottle down.
Well, sometimes it's a hardship to have a new baby, a hardship on both. It's best for both, really, sometimes.
She walked briskly to the cabinet. When she returned with a new bottle, she stepped around to the other side of the table so her back was no longer to him. Most of the ingredients for his cures were powders or liquids, and he didn't know what they were. The bottle she brought back contained one of the few things he recognized, the dried base of mountain fever roses. They looked like brown, shriveled little circles with stars in the center. She often added one to his cure. This time, she poured a pile in her cupped hand, made a fist to crush them, and dumped the fine brown crumbles in the cure she was mixing.
Best for both?
Oba asked. Her fingers seemed to be looking for something to do.
Yes, sometimes.
She seemed like she didn't want to talk about it anymore, but couldn't find a way to make it end.
Sometimes it's more of a hardship than a woman can endure, that's all. A hardship that only endangers her and the rest of her children.
But Mama had no other children.
Lathea
went silent for a moment.
Oba, surrender.
He listened to the voice that had become somehow different, somehow vastly more important.
No, but all the same, you was a hardship on her. It's difficult for a woman to raise a child by herself, especially a child.
She caught herself, then started over.
I only meant that it would be hard.
But she did it. I guess you were wrong. Isn't that so, Lethea? You were wrong. Not Mama. You. Mama wanted me.
And she never married, Lethea snapped. Her flash of anger had put the flame of haughty authority back into her eyes. Maybe if she'd married, she would have had a chance to have a whole family instead of only a bastard boy.
Lethea didn't answer this time. She seemed to regret having taken a stand. The spark of anger left her eyes. With slightly trembling fingers, she dumped another pile of the dried flower buds in her palm, hurriedly crushed them in her fist, and dumped them in the cure. She turned and busied herself studying the flames in the hearth through a liquid in a blue glass bottle. Oba took a step toward the table. Her head came up, her eyes turning to his.
Dear Creator,
she whispered as she looked into his eyes. He realized she was not speaking to him, but to herself.
Sometimes when I look into those blue eyes, I can see him.
Oba's brow drew down above his glare. The bottle slipped from her hand, thumped on the table, and rolled to the floor where it shattered.
Oba, surrender. Surrender your will.
This was new. The voice had never before said that.
You wanted Mama to kill me, didn't you, Lethea?
He took another step toward the table. Lethea stiffened.
Stay where you are, Oba.
There was fear in her eyes. Little rat eyes. This was definitely new. He was learning new things almost faster than he could note them all. He saw her hands, the weapons of a sorceress, lifting. Oba paused. He stood cautiously, at attention.
Surrender, Oba, and you will be invincible.
This was not merely new, it was startling.
I think you want to kill me with your cures, don't you, Lethea? You want me dead.
No, no, Oba. That isn't true. I swear it isn't.
He took another step, testing what the voice promised. Her hands rose, a glow of light coming to life around her clawed fingers. The sorceress was conjuring magic.
Oba?
Her voice was more forceful, more sure.
Stay where you are now. Surrender, Oba, and you will be invincible.
Oba felt his thighs bump the table as he advanced. The jars rattled and clanked together. One of them wobbled. Lethea watched it teeter and almost right itself, only to topple and spill its thick red liquid. Lethea's face abruptly twisted with hatred, with rage, with effort. She cast her clawed hands forward toward him, cast the full force of her power at him. With a thunderous clap, light ignited, the flash making everything in the room go white for an instant. He saw a flare of a yellow-white light knife through the air toward him, deadly lightning sent to kill. Oba felt nothing. Behind him, the light blasted a man-sized hole through the wooden wall, scattering flaming splinters out into the night. All the fire fizzled out in the snow. Oba touched his chest where the full force of her power had been directed. No blood. No torn flesh. He was unharmed. He thought that Lethea was even more surprised about this than he. Her mouth hung open in astonishment. Her wide eyes stared. All his life he had feared this scarecrow. Lathia quickly recovered, and again her face twisted with effort as she drew her hands up. This time an eerie blue hiss of light formed. The air smelled like burning hair. Lathia turned her palms up, sending forth her deadly magic, sending him death. Power no person could withstand shrieked toward him. The blue light scorched the walls behind, but again he felt nothing. Oba grinned. Again Lathia wheeled her arms, but this time she also whispered a chant of clipped words he could not understand, rattling off a menace of magic. A column of light bloomed, undulating in the air before him, a viper of extraordinary might. Beyond doubt, it was meant to kill. Oba lifted his hands to feel the snaking rope of crackling death she had spawned. He ran his fingers through it, but could feel nothing. It was like looking at something in a different world, there, but not. It was as if he were invincible. With a howl of outrage, her hands came up again. Quick as a thought, Oba seized her by the throat.
Oba! She screeched. Oba! No! Please!
This was new. He had never before heard Lathia say, please. With her neck in his meaty grip, he dragged her across the table toward him. Bottles scattered, tumbling to the floor. Some thudded and rolled. Some broke like eggs. Oba closed a fist on Lathia's stringy hair. She clawed at him, desperately calling upon her talents. She spoke words that had to be a mystical entreaty to magic, to her gift, to her sorceress power. While he didn't recognize the words, he understood their lethal intent. Oba had surrendered, though, and he had become invincible. He had watched her unleash her rage. Now he unleashed his. He slammed her up against their cabinet. Her mouth grew wide with a silent scream.
"Why did you want Mama to get rid of me?"
Her eyes, big and round, were fixed on the object of her terror, Oba. All his life, she had delighted in terrifying others. Now all that terror had returned to haunt her.
"Why did you want Mama to get rid of me?"
A series of small, panting cries were her only answer.
"Why? Why?"
Oba ripped her dress from her body. Coins spilled from the pocket, raining across the floor.
"Why?"
He clutched the white shift she wore underneath the dress.
"Why?"
She tried to hold the shift to herself, but he stripped it away, sending her tumbling across the floor, bony arms and legs sprawling. Her wasted breasts hung like shriveled udders. This powerful sorceress was now naked before him, and she was nothing. Her cries, full and round, came to life at last. Teeth gritted, he snatched her by the hair and hauled her to her feet. Oba rammed her against the cabinet. Wood splintered, bottles cascaded out. He seized a bottle as it rolled out and broke it against the cabinet.
"Why, Lathia?"
He brought the neck of the broken bottle up against her body.
"Why?"
She shrieked all the louder. He twisted it against her soft middle.
"Why? Please, oh dear Creator, please no. Why, Lathia?"
"Because,"
she wailed, "you are the bastard son of that monster Darkenrall."
Oba hesitated. This was stunning news. If it was true.
"Mama was forced. She told me so. She said it was some man she didn't know who fathered me." "Oh, she knew him, she did. She worked at the palace when she was younger. Your mother had big breasts and bigger ideas back then. Poorly conceived ideas. She wasn't smart enough to realize that she was no more than a night's diversion for a man with a limitless supply of women, those eager like her, and those not."
This was something definitely new. Darkon Rall had been the most powerful man in the world. Could that noble Rall blood flow in his veins? The heady implications made his head swim. If the sorceress was telling the truth.
My mother would have stayed there at the people's palace if she carried Darkon Rall's son.
You aren't his gifted heir.
But still, if I was his son...
Despite her pain, she managed to give him that smile that said he was but dirt to her.
You are not gifted. Your kind were vermin to him. He ruthlessly exterminated all he discovered. He would have tortured you and your mother to death if he knew of you. Once she learned this, your mother fled.
Oba was overwhelmed with new things. They were beginning to become a jumble in his mind. He pulled the sorceress close.
Darkon Rall was a powerful wizard. If what you say is true, he would have hunted us.
He slammed her against the cabinet again.
He would have hunted me.
He shook her to elicit an answer.
He would have.
He did, but he could not see the holes in the world.
Her eyes were rolling. Her frail body was no match for Oba's strength. Blood ran from her right ear.
What?
Oba reasoned that Lethea was babbling nonsense now.
Only Althea can.
She had ceased to make sense. He wondered how much of what she had said was true. Her head lolled to the side.
I should have saved us all when I had the chance. Althea was wrong.
He shook her, trying to get her to say more. Red froth bubbled from her nose. Despite his yelling, his demanding, his shaking her, no more words came. He held her close, his heavy, hot breath lifting thin strands of her hair as he glared into her aimless eyes. He had learned all he would from her. He remembered all the burning powder he'd had to drink, the potions she had mixed for him, the days he'd spent in the pen. He remembered all the times he'd vomited his guts out and it still wouldn't stop burning his insides. Oba growled as he lifted the bony woman. With a roar of anger, he slammed her against the wall. Her cries were fuel for the fire of his vengeance. He reveled in her helpless agony. He smashed her down against the heavy trestle table, breaking it and breaking her. With each crash, she became more limp, bloody, incoherent. But Oba had only just begun to rage at her. Chapter 10 Jensen didn't want to go back to the inn, but it was dark and cold, and she didn't know what else to do. It was disheartening that Lethea wouldn't answer their questions. Jensen had pinned her hopes on the woman's help.
"What shall we do tomorrow?" Sebastian asked.
"Tomorrow? Well, do you still want me to help you leave Dahara, as you and your mother asked of me?" She hadn't really thought it out. In view of what little Lethea had told her, Jensen wasn't sure what to do. She stared absently out into the empty night as they trudged across the crusted snow.
"If we went to the people's palace, I would have some answers," she said, thinking out loud, "and hopefully Althea's help."
Going to the people's palace was by far the most dangerous alternative, but no matter where she ran, where she hid, Lord Rawl's magic would haunt her. Althea might be able to help. Maybe somehow she would be able to conceal Jensen from him so she could have her own life. He seemed to give her words serious thought, a long cloud of his breath trailing away in the wind.
"We'll go to the people's palace, then. Find this Althea woman."
She felt somehow uneasy when she realized that he wasn't offering any argument or trying to talk her out of it.
"The people's palace is the heart of Dahara."
"It's not just the heart of Dahara," but the home of the Lord Rall.